gathering of the saints together. Lord, we love you. We thank you. We worship you. We rejoice together in you and in your glory and in your name. Lord, we ask that you are blessed as we, your people, come before you. In Jesus' name, amen. So please stand as we receive. Cite the Shema and read the Word of God together this morning. The Shema. Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad, Ve'ahavta et Adonai Elecha, Ve'chol Levacha, Uve'chol Neshavka, Uve'chol Modecha, Ve'ahavta Iracha Komoka. Amen. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And love your neighbor as yourself. Amen. Okay, our morning this reading is 2 Samuel chapter 18. 2 Samuel chapter 18. Then David numbered the people who were with him and set over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. And David sent the people out, one third under the command of Joab, the other third under the command of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one third under the command of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I myself will surely go out with you also. But the people said, you should not go out. For if indeed we flee, they will not care about us. Even if half of us die, they will not care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us. Therefore now it is better that you be to help us from the city. Then the king said to them, whatever seems best to you, I will do. So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and thousands. And the king charged Joab saying, and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king charged all the commanders concerning Absalom. Then the people went out into the field against Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. And the people of Israel were defeated there before the servants of David, and the slaughter there that day was great, 20,000 men. For the battle there was spread over the whole countryside, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Now Absalom happened to meet the servants of David, for Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak, and his head caught fast in the oak. So he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him kept going. A certain man saw it. He told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak. Then Joab said to the man who had told him, now behold, you saw him. Why then did you not strike him there to the ground? And I would have given you 10 pieces of silver and a belt, And the man said to Joab, "Even if I should receive 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, I would not put out my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king charged you and Abishai and Ittai and saying, 'Protect for me the young man Absalom.' Otherwise, if I had dealt treacherously against his life, and there is nothing hidden from the king, then you yourself would have stood aloof." Then Joab said, "I will not waste time here with you." So he took 3 spears in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men who carried Joab's armor gathered around and struck Absalom and killed him. Then Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab restrained the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a deep pit in the forest and erected over him a very great heap of stones. And all Israel fled, each to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up for himself a pillar which is in the king's valley, for he said, "I have no son to preserve my name." So he named the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's Monument to this day. Then Amminahaz, the son of Zadok, said, "Please let me run and bring the king news that the Lord has freed him from the hand of his enemies." But Joab said to him, "You are not the man to carry news this day, but you shall carry news another day. However, you shall carry no news today because the king's son is dead." Then Joab said to the Cushite, "Go, tell the king what you have seen." So the Cushite bowed to Joab and ran. Now Amminahaz, the son of Zadok, said once more to Joab, "But whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite." And Joab said, "Why would you run, since you will have no reward for going?" "But whatever happens," he said, "I will run." So he said to him, "Run." Then Amminahaz ran by the way of the plain and came up and passed up the Cushite. Now David was sitting between the 2 gates, and the watchman went up to the roof of the gate by the wall and raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running by himself. And the watchman called and told the king, and the king said, "If he is by himself, there is good news in his mouth." And he came nearer and nearer. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "Behold, another man running by himself." And the king said, "This one also is bringing good news." And the watchman said, "I think the running of the first is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "This is a good man and comes with good news." And Ahimaaz called and said to the king, "All is well." And he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. And he said, "Blessed is the Lord your God who has delivered up who lifted their hands against my lord the king." And the king said, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was." Then the king said, "Turn aside and stand here." So he turned aside and stood still. And behold, the Cushite arrived. And the Cushite said, "Let my lord the king receive good news, for the Lord has freed you this day from the hand of all those up against you." Then the king said to the Cushite, "Is it well with the young man Absalom?" And the Cushite answered, "Let the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be as that young man." And the king was deeply moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And thus he said as he walked, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I had died instead of you, O Absalom, my son, my son." Thank you, Lord, for your life and your truth. We ask that you would accomplish everything that you intend for us in our time together and as your people. Amen. Please be seated. 2 Samuel 18:28. And Ahimaaz called and said to the king, "All is well." And he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground, and he said, "Blessed is the Lord your God who has delivered up the men who lifted their hands against my lord the king." In this morning's reading, we're presented with another of those times when it was realized that God is to be blessed in the manner in which our walk on this earth is unto His satisfaction. It is the means of humanity to live under the blessing of God, not to be caught up with all the schemes and efforts to get His blessing. This chapter details the end of the revolt that would have removed David from the throne. Thus, this averted the death of the ordained Davidic kingship over the nation of Israel, and as the heritage of the Messiah to come. The reign of King David was met with the human recognition that it was a blessing to God that this sovereign remained in place, and not the usurper who would have ended the lineage because he had no male heir. This is evidenced as the writer details that Absalom set up the pillar in the king's valley as his commemoration stone instead. When we see that the Lord's will is accomplished and His plan is forwarded, we are to recognize that He is blessed. Whether this is in our lives individually or corporately, there is to be honor given to the Lord as the walk of His people on this earth reflect and carry out that which is His plan and His purpose for the sake of His glory. This removes that vision of seeing us as the center of all our activities and motives. Rather, it places the full breadth of the glory and the honor to be received upon Jehovah as the focal point. We live with the view and desire that He will receive the praise for all the good work that He has done, is doing, and ever will accomplish. Accordingly, we declare with the every fiber of our essence that He alone is to be blessed in the works of His hands and in our obedient service of sacrifice unto Him. This was in evidence very early on in the history of this living relationship with God, in which the Lord directed and maintained the walk of those who would seek to honor and to bless Him above all else. We turn back in our Bibles to Genesis 14, 8 through 20. This is the account of Abram, soon to be Abraham, after he had obeyed the Lord in rescuing Lot and his family from those raiders who had plundered the city of this nephew. Abram was on the return trip home when he was met by Melchizedek. Genesis 14, 18 through 20. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High, and he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth, and blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand." And he gave him a tenth of all. This king and priest of God gave Jehovah the blessing for all that had been done by Abram in his obedience to the Lord. Even in the greeting of him and the blessing of him by Melchizedek, there was the pronouncement that he was a man of God, thereby blessing the Lord in that salutation. This priest then continued with the direct assertion that God Most Sarai was to be blessed by the successful response of Abram to the task that was given by and directed unto Jehovah. The entire meeting of these two men was that which would bring honor and adoration and glory to Yahweh in a manner of the recognition that He alone was to be blessed and praised in the responses of those who belong to Him. Next, please turn to Genesis 24:27, where the blessing of God is voiced by that servant who sought faithfully for the house of family of Abraham in order to bring back a wife for Isaac. Abraham, in honoring the Lord and in the declaration of the blessing that God was to receive by the faithful obedience of this lineage, wanted Isaac not to take a wife from the land of the Canaanites in which Abraham and his family were dwelling. There was to be in evidence the consideration of the holiness of God in the choices made by His people on this earth. Therefore, Abraham sent his servant to locate a suitable woman to become the wife of Isaac, a woman who would bless the Lord as did this patriarchal family. Accordingly, this servant searched diligently for the one whom the Lord had prepared as the wife of Isaac. He asked the Lord to make known to him where the family of this chosen one would be. The Lord, through the selfless actions of Rebekah, made known exactly whom the servant should approach and ask to come back to Abraham and Isaac. In the recognition that God had directly intervened and provided the response to this request, we find that sent expressing that which we all should hold in our hearts before the Lord. Genesis 24:27, and he said, blessed be the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not forsaken his loving kindness and his truth toward my master. As for me, the Lord has guided me in the way to the house of my master's brothers. Whenever we find ourselves in need of the guidance of God, which is all the more as each day progresses, we should follow this same biblical example. There should be that welling up within us which has to fully proclaim that God is to be blessed. This is not just because He has made the every provision for our lives with His supply and with His action, but because He so cares for His people down to the nth degree. There is nothing too small or too large to entrust to the sovereignty of God. He directs and He rules and He overrules in the minutiae as well as in the grand scale of the sojourn of His people on this earth. As an aside, Abraham had counted on Jehovah to prepare the spouse for Isaac. He had asked the Lord to work in her all that was necessary to become the wife through whom the lineage would be carried forward to the glory and the praise and the blessing of the Lord God Almighty. It was imperative that this woman would be the perfect helpmate as the family of Abraham was to become the blessing to all the nations of the earth, as well as to Yahweh, in the fulfillment of His plan and His purpose. Accordingly, it is just as imperative that parents and grandparents and great-grandparents, and yes, even great-great-grandparents, are seeking for God to work and to prepare those men and women who will become the helpmates of our families as the heritage of the Lord. It is like the planting of the tamarisk tree for future generations to know and to honor the Lord God Almighty. This is vital to the course of the testimony that our families are to the people in our societal realm. Let's never just assume that things will work out. It is our duty as the parental element and the matriarchs and the patriarchs of our lineage that we beseech the Lord to instill in the entire posterity of our earthly family who He is and all that He has done. This requires that we live before our entire line of relations, the more and more perfect expression of the will of God in our lives. We hold Him at the forefront of our every interaction. We ask Him to rule and to overrule in the every choice of spouses as He so deems the heart's preparation and desire to know Him all the more fully. We sincerely ask that He would be blessed in the walk of our posterity as we so desire Him to be blessed in the paths of the obedience that our feet tread. We cannot make those decisions for our heritage, but we are to live them in the manner of our choices and our earnest desire that God is blessed, no matter what the course that He determines to be trod. In the truth of how this entire familial blessing of the Lord is to be set into the heart of each unit member, let us now see how even a father-in-law dealt with in great respect and honor was drawn into the process of giving God the glory and the blessing that God alone is due. Please open to Exodus 18, 8 through 12. As the heart of Moses' father-in-law, Jethro, became attuned to the magnificence of God. Thus Jethro offered Jehovah the blessing that comes from a parent's heart for the manner in which the Lord rules and overrules in the lives of his family. Exodus 18, 8 through 12. And Moses told his father-in-law all that the Lord had done to Pharaoh and to the Egyptians for Israel's sake, all the hardship that had befallen them on the journey, and how the Lord had delivered them. And Jethro rejoiced over all the goodness which the Lord had done to Israel in delivering them from the hand of the Egyptians. So Jethro said, "Blessed be the Lord who has delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of Pharaoh, and who delivered the people from under the hand of the Egyptians. Now I know that the Lord is greater than all the gods. Indeed, it was proven when they dealt proudly against the people." Then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law took a burnt offering and sacrifices for God. And Aaron came with all the elders of Israel to eat a meal with Moses' father-in-law before God. Jethro was not of the Jewish lineage. He was a shepherd, the patriarch of the family that Moses had married into. But even in this, as God works so mightily on the behalf of His chosen people, the tribes of Israel, there was still that witness that caught the eyes and the heart of this Gentile father. He saw the same glory of God revealed, those plagues as well as through the crossing of the Red Sea, where the Israelites danced with all joy in Jehovah, their God and their Savior. Accordingly, as the details of the mighty and the miraculous work of Yahweh were presented to this Gentile, he joined into that celebration of the majesty of Jehovah and made the great oration that every Gentile brought into the familial heritage of the Lord makes in our hearts and with our mouths. Blessed be the Lord who delivered you. At that point, we all add the details of that from which He has delivered us. There is the same heart of gratitude and honor and adoration espoused from everyone who comes to know the Lord and seeks to add to His blessings as the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. David, in one of his last proclamations, as recorded in 2 Samuel 22:47 through 51, may well have alluded to what transpired in the matter of this morning's reading as he, Jehovah, went up to the very last breath of his life. His encouragement to all the people of God is one that we should hold in our hearts as the means of facing those final moments of our lives. It is not with regret or with resignation for all the things that we could not finish or accomplish. That puts the state of our last moments into the focused idea that we could have done more or that we missed out on this or that. Rather, as did David, we need to be certain that God receives the glory for all the manifest work of His grace and mercy and love which He lavished so fully all the days of our sojourn here. All the days of our lives, all the decisions that form the basis of who we are and what we did, all of it is overshadowed gloriously and manifestly and majestically with the truth of how Jehovah Jireh worked to His complete and fulfilled glory through the witness of such as we are. 2 Samuel 22:47 through 51. The Lord lives, and blessed be my rock, and exalted be God, the rock of my salvation, the God who executes vengeance for me and brings down peoples under me, who also brings me out from my enemies. Thou dost even lift me above those who rise up against me. Thou dost rescue me from the violent man. Therefore, I will give thanks to Thee, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to Thy name. He is a tower of deliverance to his king and shows loving kindness to his anointed, to David and his descendants forever. As we continue with this consideration, Lord willing, let it become very clear to one and all that the focal point of our lives in this realm at this time is to honor and praise and bless our Lord God Almighty. It is no longer about us and our problems and our need to fix what we can with our own ingenuity and the devices that we may utilize. So much of the current mainstream Christianity is set in the way that God can bless us as we do this or that. There are all the gimmicks of religiosity to bring forth wealth and prosperity and comfort as because of what God will do for us as we name it and claim it in His name. Certainly, as we live those lives in line with all that would please God, in full accordance to His Word, by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, we will receive the best that God has to lavish upon us through Jesus Christ. However, that is not the goal and the purpose of the salvation which He offers so freely through the death and resurrection of His only begotten Son. It is all because of the outcome of our obedient surrender to whatever He would have us do in witness to Him, to His glory alone. The other aspect which needs to be instilled in our hearts and minds is that all that we receive, all that we have, all that we will ever know, it all belongs to God to use as He so deems fit. Where there may be prosperity, it is not for the use of anyone but God. We are just caretakers of His bestowed means to meet the needs of those who require such as is bestowed upon us. Ever and always, we are here to be a blessing to others as we so bless and sacrificially serve God with all our heart and with all our soul and with all our strength. It is all to the glory and the praise and the adoration of the Lord God on high and Him alone. So be it. And Ahimaaz called and said to the king, "All is well." And he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. And he said, "Blessed is the Lord your God who has delivered up the men who lifted their hands against my lord the king." Amen.